I think roller derby is a hopeful thing.
He earned enough money from selling plants that he paid off the mortgage on his house.
People always want to know, is that a lie or is that the truth?
I completely disassembled this Triumph TR6.
I wish I could have been a professional woman soccer player.
I'm Martha Woodruff, and this is The Spark, an exploration of interesting people doing interesting things. Carl Beckett is the first guy I've ever felt compelled to talk to because of his hair. Carl wandered into the UREC weight room sporting the largest afro I've seen since the 1970s. Turns out, Mr. Beckett, who's in his first year at JMU, is a very resourceful fellow from Washington State who graduated from high school a decade ago.
I did roofing when I graduated, and then I worked at a restaurant called Red Robin as the dishwasher. I was able to pay the bills, but I was literally able to do only that. My car, I threw a rod in the engine, no longer functioned after that. Just paying to have a tow truck come get it and tow it for me was an expenditure I wasn't able to afford. So
I bet in college was not in the cards right then.
No, it was not. College became more of a priority the older I got and realized that there was a necessity for that in my future.
So you'd go down to the Navy recruiter and say, take me?
They get a list of all the high school graduates, and they ping them. And I'd had one that had been pinging me for quite some time. He would call me. He was pretty persistent about it, too. And I told him, like, if this is a decision I want to make, when I'm ready to make it, I'll be happy to let you know. And then with my car falling apart, it was right around the holidays, and I was like, this is not really where I want to be ever. So I needed to make a better decision for myself, and that was when I left.
What'd you sign up to study to be? What was the deal you made?
I signed up to go to a school here in Virginia, and I ended up becoming an imagery analyst. It was a job that I had no real understanding of, and I was curious about it, which is why I think that I ended up choosing that job. So,
what is it?
It's being able to analyze images that we receive from whatever the source is, and being able to break out certain things. It depends on the quality of the image. It can be really poor, and somebody would want to know, is that a rock or is that a tank? If it's a tank, then what kind of tank is it? How can you tell?
Did you take to this? Like it?
I did.
Why?
It just seemed fun. It seemed fun, and it was not something that came to me easily, but it was also not something that I felt I was constantly struggling with.
Let's go to the rock in the tank. What you look for?
It depends on the quality of, if the image is so grainy and so terrible that you can't tell. I mean, sometimes you have to say, I can't tell. So saying, I don't know, was actually taught to us as something that's okay to say. But if there was the ability for me to find certain features like a barrel or see the turret on top of the tank or things of that nature, and not a lot of rocks that are quite that size of a tank. So, I mean, it could be anything. A lot of the naval vessels we had to look at, like just you would know like where the masts were, where the funnel was, and the shape of the actual ship itself was features that you could use to discern what kind of ship it was. So,
were these mainly satellite photos? Who was taking these photos?
That I don't think I can say, but they came from multiple sources.
Okay. And what was going on when you first went into the Navy? The war was going on?
I got into the Navy in January of 2000, so the U.S. was still conducting Operation Northern and Southern Watch, and the ship that I was on was the ship called the USS Constellation, was an aircraft carrier out of San Diego. It was before 9/11, and I was actually here in Virginia when September 11th happened.
And what changed?
I want to say everything changed, because my life was revolved around the Navy and being able to be flexible with where I needed to be when they needed me. So as that changed, and as our military progressed, and then the following buildup that happened because of that, my deployment schedule changed, people's priorities changed, the whole, our posture and our footprint overseas began to grow, and that had a lot to do with that. And I ended up in Afghanistan several years later with a squadron. I've been there probably grand total four times now for almost a total of 2 years.
On land?
Yes.
And what's it like?
The Afghanis themselves, they have a very different lifestyle than us. They have a very different outlook on everything. But the majority of the Afghanis that I met were all very friendly people.
And were you scared?
There was, my job didn't require me to have to go on patrols with any of our ground assets, so that was never a concern. There was always a potential threat. We would be rocketed every now and then, and that was of some concern. But the anxiety that I felt the first time, I didn't feel the second time or the third time or the fourth time that I went out there. It started to taper off, and I kind of accepted that that's where I was, and if that was something that happens, or if I ended up you know, becoming hurt because of it. It was because of a decision that I made. So,
all right. You were in the Navy 10 years, and you went in because you threw a rod in your car.
Amongst other things, yeah. That had a lot to do with it.
10 years later, how was your attitude towards life different? How were you different?
I would say I'm different in the sense where I can finally accept that there are things that I'm not able to change. There's also...
In the world? In you? In
both.
People?
All of the above. Mm-hmm. I mean, I found that to be a constant. There are some things I'd like to change. And it also helped me recognize that I needed to make sure that I'm taking care of myself as much as I can. And that will in turn allow me to help other people as much as I can. So because I have to have my things straight first. And then that enables me to help guide other people and be able to say, hey, this is what I did and it didn't work. It might work for you. Or, hey, this is what I did. It worked beautifully. I hope it works for you.
What did you learn about people?
Are you talking about just in Afghanistan or through the entire experience?
Through the entire experience.
I learned there are people that I will, even though I will try to get along with them, that I just will never actually be able to get along with them and them with me. I've also learned to try my best to treat people as people, though that's not always easy and that's not always something that I do well. I do my best. But there are so many different types of people and there are a lot of very... very distinct differences, but also a lot of similarities that are sometimes very subtle. And the ship was one. The ship had a lot of different people from a lot of different places. Even if you don't agree with what the other person is saying or doing, learning to work together with them is an experience that I would hope everyone at some point in their life has.
Carl Beckett ended up in Bridgewater working for Science Applications International Corporation, which recently became Leidos. While there, he decided to get a degree in intelligence analysis from JMU. But wait, what is the deal with Carl Beckett's giant afro?
Right when I got the job coming out here to the Harrison Bridgewater area, I didn't bring my clippers, and so I just was like, you know what, I'm going to let it go. And it started growing, and I started getting a lot of compliments, like, hey, that'd be pretty cool if you had a fro. And I was like, oh, okay, thank you. And then the more it started to grow, the more attention I got, positive attention from other people. People would just walk past, smile, be like, hey, I used to have one of those. Or I remember when those were popular. I was like, oh, okay. And I just let it go ever since then. So and it's been about 2 years since I got it.
What kind of upkeep does it involve? Do you have to work to get it to stand up like that?
Yes. If it's too humid, it tries to lay itself down. And I end up picking it out pretty frequently with the pick here. And I find it to be a lot of fun.
Describe this pick. I haven't seen something like that for 30 years.
I'd say about 11 inches long total. It's the longest pick I could find, and I needed something to be able to reach into the back part of the hair and pull it out. So
Where'd
I found this.
It?
Sally's Beauty Supply.
Okay.
Believe it or not. I walked in there. I was like, I need a pick. And they're like, here's the ones we have. And they had this humongous one. I was like, I'm going to get 6 of those.
So I'm not the first person who started a conversation with you because of your giant fro.
No, that happens all the time.
Do you, in general, have a lot of fun? Seems like you're having fun with your hair.
Oh, I do. I'm very pleased to be here, to be perfectly honest. Like, being at the school, having the tuition taken care of by the post-9/11 GI Bill, and the people that I've met, the friends that I have that are here that have been helpful to let me live with them while I was looking for a place, or answer questions about school or anything like that. Like, I generally have a very good time being here.
You'll find pictures of Carl Beckett and Carl Beckett's afro on the Spark page at WMRA.org.